Hey guys, thanks for listening. This is Bella here, and I'm here with my co-host, Watch.
That's right.
And we are coming unfiltered, and today we have a topic that has been on Watch's heart that he wants to...
Why does it have to always be on my heart?
That he wants,
why can't it just be on my sleeve?
That he wants to discuss. I think it'll inspire other conversations because other people may have other opinions about this?
They definitely will have other opinions about it. America, you always talk about this topic America. That I'm about to bring up.
I don't know if that's our audience.
America is our audience.
But let's... So just introduce the topic. Let them know. Get it off
the desk. Before I introduce like the name of the topic, I do want to say this. Everybody talks about money because money is important to how we function, right? So... it's no different in relationships. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you meet a guy, you meet a girl, you know, everybody has like their checklist, right? You want somebody to be tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever the case may be. But the one checkbox that I always feel like is usually always there, waiting or wanting to be checked by men or women is the income box. The income and the occupation
and
box.
That's because we live in a capitalist society. So that isn't just something that people appreciate, but the reason why they appreciate it is because we live in a token system.
No, I get that. But with that being said, there are occupations that make... I mean, because it's making money, a lot of money, that's relative, right? So, for example, there could be a guy...
It's kind of the objective.
Well, it's a relative term. So, right, you're saying, like, we live in a token society. You can live in a token society making what I consider would be a modest range. An occupation that makes a modest range is, let's say, like a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, you're a teacher in a market like Chicago. You're working for CPS. I'm assuming you make anything from, like, 48 to 55, something along that range. So, like, if you're a guy, you know, and you're like a fifth-year teacher, you're probably making around 55, maybe close to 60, living in a place like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that that's an income that I think is livable, right? Mm-hmm. So now the question is, like, what's really desirable? A livable income or something more than that?
Mm-hmm.
Because... depending on what your relative scale is and what's desirable is going to now speak to the type of industries or occupations in which you're going to be drawn to. And then on top of that, with that being said, how much of that is a factor in you taking someone truly seriously?
Well, first I'd like to say more income will always be desirable because what more income does is...
more money, more problems, though.
It gives you more problems, but it also gives you more access. And it gives you more freedoms, and you can purchase things that other people do not have access to. So people who live in low-resource environments, their primary...
But it can't buy happiness, though. And it can't buy love. And isn't that the
thing? It depends on how you define love and happiness. I think that once you get to a certain level of success, and that typically comes with a tax bracket, you what you do is, like, you attract a certain type of person.
So you're saying that if
and
you're...
And that may make you
are
happy.
Are you talking about
depending on how you define it.
Okay, so... are we talking about women, men, or both?
Both.
So you're saying if I'm a surgeon,
yeah,
I'm going to attract a woman who is of that same profession. What if I don't want that woman, though? Like that's
you may not, but then now you have, because of your status, you have access to more, like the pool is larger, right? So that the pool that you're fishing in is now larger. There's more fish for you to actually... tend to. And so now you could date a coworker, or you could date, you know, a 23-year-old bartender.
So you're basically saying because the more money I have, the more range to
the
access.
The more range and access you have, and it also makes you more attractive.
Okay, no. So that's true, mm-hmm. and I think that's real. But I also think that's the reason why a lot of men, and I'm going to really call out men here because it's
true. Well, first of all, wait, you haven't actually introduced the topic that we're discussing because you were setting the tone and trying to, like, make the framework, and now you, like, really getting into it. So let's retract a little
bit. Okay, all right. The name of the topic is basically how much does income and occupation really matter? Yeah. Laura, are you happy?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make sure they're following We do have these conversations often. We can jump into it. And we know what we're talking about.
What I want to get out of this, to be clear, is like, is it different between men and women as far as like whether it matters and how much it matters? Because what I'm seeing is people saying one thing when they're like, oh, no, it really doesn't matter because I'm looking for love, I'm looking for happiness. But at the end of the day, when somebody says they are of an occupation or they're making this a certain type of income that doesn't speak to that access in which you're talking about, usually now they're not taken seriously on a grandiose, like on a long-term scale.
Right, because I think it's our value system. I don't know if it's something that is so specific to individuals as much as it is a societal norm. I think that the whole general mantra of our society is the one who has the most wins. And the more you have...
Well, it's capitalism.
It's capitalism. Yeah. So it's just like... So that makes you more attractive in general. People who have less...
I will argue that I don't think it's that way with women. Like, I don't think men find...
I feel like we've had other discussions where you've, like, mentioned that your friend was like, I wouldn't date a woman who doesn't make less than X amount of money.
I think there are a lot of men who care more about occupation than they care about income. Because the thing is, I think a lot of men, and we talked about this in our alpha, beta conversation in our last podcast. First of all, a lot of men who have kind of like that quote unquote alpha trait in which we spoke to, they don't want their woman making more money than them anyway, typically, I feel like, you know. So like guys actually, I feel like if you are of that mindset, guys want to be able to provide, you know, from an income standpoint. They want to be able to give their woman that type of access in which you're speaking to.
And women want security.
No, and women want that. And women want that security in return. So with guys know that they have that key ingredient, that answer key to what it is that what makes a woman secure. So because a man knows that he has it. But it's a big thing though. Like, security may not make a woman completely happy, but it can make her content enough to fucking stay. Shit, let's be real here. So guys, I just want to say, so like guys, I think that's the reason why it's kind of like when you have a lot of money in this particular society, you have more access, or let me not say access, you have more wiggle room or more leeway to be an asshole. You have more leeway to basically be that douchebag because you have things that people want, so people aren't going to really burn that bridge because you're an asshole.
Right.
So I just feel like, you know, you can't... There's a lot of guys who get faulted for being assholes, for basically flexing their money, or even if they're not flexing it and, like, promoting it in a way that's really gaudy or in a way that's very outward, they're still... They have that confidence or that bravado innately where they're like, all right, you know what? At the end of the day... You ain't gonna go nowhere because I'm basically bringing in all the money, or you're not gonna meet a guy who cares for you the way I do and brings in the type of income in which I do.
It's interesting that you say that because on the other end, you're saying that love can't be bought.
Love cannot be bought, but yes, love can be bought, but people won't just say, all right, because I don't have love, I'm just gonna go away and throw away security. So you can not have love, but still be content with security. There's a lot of women in relationships and men who have fell out of love, but because of the security of just being in a relationship or what that relationship entails financially, they're still in it.
Right. So explain to me why it is that men are more, I guess, inclined to chase after a woman based off her occupation versus her income. So what are we talking about? We're talking about women who do trade work versus women who have certain careers, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, so I was listening to like this Steve Harvey like show or whatever, and he talked about the three P's. And I think the three P's were like power, protection, and professing. So I'll speak to providing protection and professing. So professing is just like being able to like profess your love to a girl, make her feel like ooey gooey inside, right? You know what I'm saying? And then protection is being able to like protect your woman from harm and all that stuff. And then providing is basically that security in which you spoke to, where a woman knows that at the end of the day, like if she gets in dire straits, like she has a man who can get her out of it. If she wants something, she can ask her man, or her man will get that for her. So like men know that with those three P's, if you execute that well, it brings about power. Mm-hmm. I would argue that the most important P in that list in which Steve Harvey spoke to was providing. Because providing really, along with protection, but providing really goes along with protection.
Like, can women be breadwinners and provide for men?
Women don't want to spend their own money if they don't have to.
I don't know that that's entirely true. I think you have probably crossed paths with women who are breadwinners and probably make significant amounts more of money than their spouse. And whether or not that is something that they promote.
Do you not like nice gifts?
There are women who have like, there are men that are completely dependent on their wives.
No,
just
I understand
as
that.
Well as
no,
women who are right. dependent and, on their and, husband. And, so yes. It's not an anomaly.
I'm not saying that it's an anomaly, and I'm not saying that those women aren't happy, but what I'm saying is I think when you are a man who is solely dependent financially on your woman, you cannot use your own money to provide those surprises.
In traditional relationships. And I don't think
What do you mean traditional relationships? I think in any relationship. No. How am I going to surprise you if I'm using your money? How am I going to do that?
It's your money.
It happens.
Women do the same thing.
So before you come.
Cassie buys Diddy gifts.
Okay, and Diddy knows about it before he gets the gift.
He doesn't know that. She can still surprise him. She has an allowance.
That's like me growing up. It's Mother's Day. I get my mom flowers. I use her credit card to get my mom flowers and some shoes. And I'm like, Mom, happy Mother's Day.
It might not be credit card. You can still surprise somebody and spend their own money. I think that.
No, I understand that. But okay, let's say if I need it. Let's say I'm married to you. Heaven forbid. But I'm let's say I'm married to you, right? You know, I'd be married to you. That's fine. Let's say I'm married to you and you make more money, way more money than me, okay. right? And it's your birthday.
Okay.
You know, and...
But why?
Let me just finish. Okay. It's your birthday. And I'm just like, you know what? She good. Bola making that bread. I'm just going to go ahead and throw her this, like, $40,000 birthday bash.
Okay. With my own money.
With your own money. You're going to turn around and be like, nigga.
Yes, but...
That's my money, though.
Yeah, and of course, you know, that would make me uncomfortable, but at the same time, it's the thought that counts, right?
And since I make so much money,
you would probably know the things that I like.
How do you know?
And so it's your money.
I don't know what you're trying to do with your money. It's your bread. You might want to invest in some snack tomorrow.
But in a relationship, at the same time, like, that may be an uncomfortable situation, and I'm sure, like, that can ruin a relationship, possibly. You know, it doesn't even matter if the gender roles were switched or not. Anybody who spends somebody else's money without asking permission, you know, that could create conflict, but...
I don't think that just that alone. Let me just say this.
I think
when it comes to women versus men in this element of surprise, right? Okay. I think men are more interested in surprises. Like, I feel like men are okay and more interested in surprises that aren't monetary, right? Yeah. I feel like women,
women as well.
No, you're right. You're right, but
I
also
think Hallmark makes men think we want roses and chocolate all the damn time. But we would appreciate someone to buy something.
Correct, but you guys want a balance of both, though. I feel like
you like the cheesy shit.
You like the cheesy. There's a reason why, like, if you go into a Gucci store with a man, like, they're gonna come up to you. If I go to the Gucci store by myself, nobody's gonna really come up to me because they're gonna be like, you probably ain't gonna buy nothing. But if I come in with my woman, they're gonna come over to me because they know that that's the role of men. And they're not gonna say, they may say hi to both of us, but that sales rep is looking at me because he thinks that I'm the one trying to provide that monetary gift not her, the other way around.
So how does this translate into relationships? Like, this whole idea of occupation versus income, what does that even mean for the way that people select each other in relationships? Like, how does that make people selective? Like, at least from the male's point of view.
Are you asking me, like...
Yeah, is there a hierarchy? What does this mean?
So I think from a male's perspective, I think... I'm not going to say that income doesn't matter. I think a man, first of all, with your occupation, you can kind of tell where the income level is at, right? But I don't think as a man, I can speak for myself, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of other men who are listening to this, that's not one of the main checkboxes. When we're looking for a girl, we're trying to settle down and see, like, okay, is she a loyal one? Is she a down one? Is she one that, you know, I want to basically bring to my family and, like, loyal start? Down.
Sound like you're looking for a gang recruit.
A gang recruit?
Yeah. Are you loyal? Are you down?
No, I mean, I'm trying to tell you that, like, at the end of the day, guys aren't looking for things that are really monetary when it comes to, like, trying to select whether a girl is worth basically settling down with or not. I'm telling you, they're just not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it doesn't at some point become something in which he thinks about, but it's definitely like a guy isn't going to go to a bar and if she's like, oh yeah, I'm a yoga instructor, he's going to be like, oh, $35,000 a year, I'm out of here.
But I think women are the same exact way. So I think that, I just think it's a popular consensus that women are just looking for the man who makes the most money in the world.
No, I don't think it's the most money. I don't think it's the most money.
I think that a lot of women seek love and belonging more so than security sometimes. Because a lot of women are working, and like you said, the wage gap is closing a little bit. And so, like, more women are working and have a lot of opportunities and competing with men in the same industry.
No, that's real.
So I think that women aren't just going to the bar like, oh, let me check his watch. Like 50 years ago, women may have been looking at a man's clothing to
see. Okay, yeah, but it's not to that extreme, but there are other subtle things where it's just like, okay, for example, with the nightlife industry, there's a reason why nightlifes make the money in which they make, and it's not because of women. It's because of men, and it's because they're spending 5 to 10 times the amount of money it really costs for bottles just for the sake of getting bottle service at the club. Guys are spending thousands of dollars a night, you know, on weekends doing this. And guys are doing this because they know that representation. Women know that bottle service is expensive. Mm-hmm. VIP is something in which most men don't get when they go to the club. Mm-hmm. So for the guys who do get it, like, it brings about a level of security.
So it's basically baiting. I don't think that they're advertising. I think what they're advertising for is sex. They're not advertising to
no, but it's what I'm saying is it's attracting the woman. It's catching the woman's eye. It's making the man noticeable.
Right.
Like when these women don't know how much money these men make. They don't know how much, you know, what their occupations are. You can't tell that by getting bottle service at a club. But what it does do is let you know that, hey, like, at least for one night, he can drop $500 to $1,500 and it's not a problem to him. He can afford that.
I think my general point is just that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a man or a woman, the person who is looking to find a mate or seek somebody out. I think the same thing goes for women who wear name brand or high end clothing. If they're, you know, wearing a Burberry dress code and expensive watch or, you know, Gucci sunglasses, she's going to attract a certain type of man. Like, the way that you dress in respect for other people also attracts a certain type of person if they recognize and can appreciate it. I don't think that, you know, the amount of money that a man spends in the club is going to get him exactly what he's looking for.
I'm saying, and I hear what you're saying, because we're agreeing on the same thing. What I'm saying is that the amount of money, when you give off the perception that you can now spend X amount of money
on a night
on one night, there's an attraction there.
Right.
There's a desire. It's like, oh, like, this guy has money to spend. Mm-hmm. And also with that money to spend, what do girls want to do when they go to the club? They want to have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, you have guys who have are just like loose with the credit card, and they're just like bringing bottles in. You see someone who can provide access to a good time for that particular night. What did you say money usually does? It gives you access to things. Yeah. Like a good time, even outside of the club. Mm-hmm. You can go on vacations. You can go on trips. You can go shopping. You can go to dinners. You can now make all these correlations to a good time just by seeing a guy having a good time and giving you access to that in the club.
Okay. And so what's his occupation? What's his income?
Well, she's going to get to that. And she's going to get to that quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the fact that she's even intrigued to know stems from the fact that he has now dropped that hint that, hey, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can find out how much that is.
Right.
But if I didn't have it, baby.
Or estimate.
If I didn't have it, then I'd be at that bar with you looking away, hoping that somebody buy me a drink.
So basically, occupation and income helps people determine how interested they are in others in the dating scene. And then it sets the tone for how they approach and or...
Well, I'll define that a little bit more. I think for men,
okay,
I think occupation weighs more heavily in regards to that in, that checkbox interest.
Okay, so women. If you meet a woman that is a doctor...
If you meet a woman that is a doctor...
Versus a hairdresser.
Okay, so if you meet a guy who's a woman who's a doctor versus a hairdresser... If the guy's going to be interested in a doctor and in a woman being a doctor, it's less about the income and it's more about like the fact that she's educated, she's a doctor. That's something you can kind of say, hey, look, my wife or whatever, she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really about the income for the most part because, again, that guy is probably thinking like, I got my own money. Like, I'm going to be the breadwinner. Like, I'm going to be the one. She's not going to be supporting me. You know what I'm saying? So he's not thinking about the income. Now, the hairdresser, that's not, it's obviously on a scale, you know, of, you know, with high-end occupation, low-end occupation, like it's not on the same spectrum, right? But at the same time, I think when a guy sees someone who's a hairdresser, he may be more attracted to her than a woman who's a doctor because he sees someone that he can do those three P's with.
Mm-hmm.
That one P specifically, which is that providing, which really spills into that protection, you know? So like, I feel like as a guy may feel more comfortable going with that hairdresser because he could be more macho with her.
Okay.
He could probably, he can kind of flex his muscles a little bit. Where with that doctor, if you are competing with her coins, you have less say-so in regards to what it is that you can do or what she can do, is you just have to give up more.
Okay.
Right.
So I guess I understand it, and I would be interested to see what our listeners think about this conversation.
But no, I forget. We'll talk about the listeners will let us know. How about you, though? Like, do you really feel like occupation and income is something that is kind of like second rate?
It's secondary. I think it's fluid. I think it depends on the person. I think it depends on what a person's objective is. There are women and men who don't see themselves being married. So what their intentions are when they go out are not the same as people who are looking to find a mate and or find a spouse. So I just think that it just depends on the way that people market themselves. Like it can be diverse. And that's why I think it's fluid.
I
think that generally, like I said, since
generally.
We live in a capitalistic society, occupation is always going to hold weight in the way that people pursue each other.
How about income?
I think they go alongside of each other, right? I think that you can meet a hairdresser that makes six figures and you can meet a hairdresser that doesn't.
Okay.
I think you can meet, you know, a gentleman that's an engineer that is making 50K. He's just be beginning. And then you may meet someone who is not in that.
But that's right? Subjective, though, because at the end of the day, if he's an engineer starting off making 50K.
He has the earning potential.
The earning potential is there. He's going to make a lot of money at some point. So.
Well, for me personally, I just think it's fluid. I think that I have... for me, it doesn't make or break anything. For me, I think it's more quality over quantity, and quantity meaning income.
I you know what? I'm gonna. I thought that I would disagree with you saying that because I had a feeling that you're gonna go that route. But I do think there's a strong sense of truth there. I do feel like there's some contrary there. I do feel like you.
That doesn't mean I date broke men.
You don't date
broke men. That's not what I said. I just said, like, you know, it just, the thing that keeps people and allows people to form relationships and connections is not the money and the income. And a lot of people,
alpha
men who throw the money out and stuff like that, they don't have a lot behind them. There's a lot of shallowness and ego that comes with men who spend money in clubs and just throw money out at their convenience. And so that isn't exactly considered to me. That doesn't translate as security because that looks irresponsible.
No, that's real. But at the same time, if there is a guy who tells you he's a surgeon versus a guy who tells you he's a teacher, like, there's probably going to be...
I like teachers.
You like teachers more than surgeons? Yeah.
I mean, it depends. Some surgeons are assholes. And they don't, a lot of people who do work in the medical field, depending on what their exact, you know, occupation is, they don't always know how to connect. You know, they don't have a lot of social skills sometimes, especially.
But what I'm saying is, I get that. You're speaking from a long, oh, how are you going, Jonathan? Am I interrupting? I feel like I interrupted you a lot.
No, it's okay.
But here's what I'm saying. I think you're talking about, like, a relationship actually working through the long haul. And yes, with what you're saying, that applies. I'm talking about you just garnering interest right away. Mm-hmm. I feel like if there is a guy who says he's a surgeon and he's interested in you,
oh, absolutely,
you are way more inclined
to
go out on a date. And even if, like, he does show asshole tendencies, you are way more inclined to basically give him a little bit more leeway and benefit of the doubt than somebody who isn't a surgeon. Somebody who is, let's say, like a teacher. Unless the guy is a complete douchebag.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So to that degree, like, I think everybody knows, everybody with common sense knows.
But
that,
isn't,
like,
the same for women? Because I still feel like with women, men feel like they can have the pick of the litter. So
yeah,
this woman, even if she does have a decent occupation or may not have a decent occupation or a decent income, he wants to provide for her so that she still can compete with other women who may make more money than her. So
I just think it comes down to this. Men see themselves as providers, typically speaking. Like, I don't know a lot of men who are like, man, I want to, you know,
Gabrielle Union's husband and make a dollar.
You're right. And you see Gabrielle, she ain't with that nigga no more. She with Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade has made a lot of money in his NBA career.
Yes,
you know, so with that being said, like, that's kind of a case in point. But with a guy, I feel like a lot of guys don't really want their woman to provide for them because they know that, I think guys know that there's a lack of power that comes with that.
Okay.
A lot of times they feel like there's a lack of respect that comes, not even just for women, but for men as well. There's a lack of respect societally that comes with that.
Big bank, take
little
bank. Right? So, like,
the big bank,
take little bank. Money. We'll make the most
money. We saw that in regards to Nicki Minaj and Safari. Everybody was clowning Safari because they, like, yo, like, Drake even said something, but with Meek Mill, whatever his name is, it was like, yeah, like, you know, something about tell your girl to get you in the club or something like that because she bigger than you, she popping up. So, you know, so it's just like having this notion of a woman, your woman, carrying you as a man is definitely frowned upon. And I don't think a lot of men look for that.
Gender roles are changing, and I don't think that that's
good. It ain't changing quick enough. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. It ain't changing quick enough.
That's going to last very long.
I disagree. I think at the end of the day, women still expect men to do a lot of the chivalrous things that...
Because they should.
Okay, and I think part of that tradition of chivalry comes with being a provider and a protector. Those two things overlap. And I think as long as you have those expectations there, you're going to feel mad. You're going to, excuse me, see men who feel inferior if they feel as if they cannot provide and protect for their woman more than they can do it for themselves.
Okay. I agree. And I don't have an opposing argument, like I said.
You never do. I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Ouch. No, it's fine. I just feel like, you know, it's really just a matter of opinion. So I think like the important part here is, like you said, it inspires more conversation and more dialogue just around this topic. How does occupation and income play into the way that people desire each other?
Yeah,
the
we
way
have
that
15 seconds.
Let us know what you think.
So let us, yep.
You can close out.
No, go ahead.
Let us know what you think. We appreciate you for listening. Share our podcast. Subscribe to our podcast.
We're on iTunes now.
We made it on iTunes. Oh, mama, we made it.